slips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
About decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Holder, you've got to get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is Jim Fetzer inviting you to join me on The Raw Deal, Revolution Radio, Studio B, Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific, JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, the latest on politics and foreign affairs from an unconventional point of view. Come join Revolution Radio Tuesday, Thursday, Studio B.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Finally, got them out of the business. I did, at least. But, and then even today in my business, most of my problems come from the blacks. Not all the blacks, of course, but most of them. The argument, the attitude. I wonder why that is. And look how Obama has done quasi over in Afghanistan. He has screwed up a good relationship that the United States had with this man. So, Andre, my audio engineer is telling me that they cooperate most of the time, meaning that white people cooperate with one another. Yeah, they do. White people cooperate with one another. And it's due to their Christian values, honesty, according to Andre. That's why white people get along better and work together. But I'm telling you, folks, and if you have had these experiences with black people, I'd like to hear from you about them. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one that's experienced working with blacks, and it's just been hard. With my non-black employees, I can just tell them what to do, and most of the time I don't even have to tell them what to do. They see things and just do it. But with the black employees, it's all, and I've heard white businessmen and women tell me in private that they don't like hire black people. I was at the gym. I told you about this at the gym. And a foreigner, he looked like an Arab. I can't tell them they all look alike now. He was telling me that he was like, Jesse, and this guy has an international business where he goes around the world and he made some type of computer parts or something. And he sells them to other companies around the world. So he has a major business, according to him. And he said, I'm at a point, I'm only hiring white people. I don't hire black people because it's always something. It's just messy. They're always angry. They don't want to work. And then when you have to get rid of them, they want to cry racism. And they try to sue you. He's like, I can't tell you how many times they've taken me to court. So I'm just not going to hire them. And I said, you know what, sir? I don't blame you. I can't argue with you. My producer and audio engineer were talking about the blacks, why they don't work well, and the Hispanics. And both of these guys have some experience with that as well. James is the producer here.
Hello.
And hello. 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 And James, I asked you about a company you worked for prior to coming here, and you said you guys didn't hire blacks either, right?
No, the company I worked for, we didn't hire. We had one black guy.
And how did that go?
It went okay. He just did what he wanted. He was a good worker, but he did what he wanted.
What do you mean, did what he wanted?
He didn't go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you hired, what else, Hispanics?
Yeah, mostly Mexicans, Honduran.
And how did that go?
It was pretty bad because maybe one of them was a good worker, but he stole as well.
He stole?
According to the other guys, he stole. And yeah, he did steal. He admitted to me he stole. and the rest of them stole, and the rest of them pretended to work or would sometimes work. But
I wonder why they steal. I noticed that I've had a couple of workers at my house, you know, cleaning ladies.
Yeah.
And they seem so sweet and nice, and they're old, and they just seem so lovely.
Yep.
But they will steal your afro.
Yeah.
They both stole from me. One lady would come to clean, and she would always have a big bag with her. And
yep.
And the bag would not, you know, it wouldn't be full, right? And I noticed whenever she would leave, especially if I made it home before she left after cleaning, the bag would be stuffed with stuff. And we found out she was stealing food.
They figured you had plenty.
Juice and water and everything.
You have enough. You didn't show your appreciation enough.
That's why she stole?
Sometimes.
And so they work for your company, they stole too?
Yeah.
Well, and Andre, you said you had the same experience with them.
Yeah, not so much with the stealing, but I've noticed that the Mexicans, when they do work for you, all of a sudden they'll just disappear on you. One morning you come to work expecting them to be at work and finish what they've started, and then they're just not there.
Really?
You call them, no one picks up, and they just completely vanish.
Yeah, James.
Most of them didn't have pride in their work.
Yes.
The Mexicans?
Yeah.
But
not all.
They look like they were hard workers, though.
They look like it.
Yeah, but it's not true, huh?
They act like it.
Yeah, because I was thinking about the housekeepers that
they work day in and day out. You give them a little credit, but they're not the good, hard, honest workers that they're made out to be.
I wonder why they steal from you. You pay them, and they're still stealing. Oh, I think what it is, as you just said, and Andre, I don't know how you feel about this, but they think you have money because you hire them,
yep.
And so they believe that you can afford it, so they just steal from you.
Yeah.
That sounds like the ends justify the means. That's crazy.
I know. And what do you guys think about the black employees? Am I wrong about this? You guys work with black people.
Nope, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong?
No.
And why you say I'm not? Why do you say I'm not wrong?
Because you can see the attitude in most black people. They just don't want to they just don't like it.
Don't like what?
They don't like being under you.
But yet they have their hands out for the paycheck every other week. So you notice that too?
Yeah.
You, Andre?
I'm going to let the white man take the heat this time. Don't get me involved.
I know you got to look at him when they come in today.
Let him take the heat.
But let me ask you, is James wrong?
No, he's not wrong. He's absolutely right. I've noticed it in prior businesses, too.
About the blacks?
Yeah, they do tend to, and not all of them, there's very hardworking ones, too. And mostly the hardworking ones are not from here. They're from Africa or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right, they're foreigners. But the ones that were born here and grew up here, they do tend to, most of them do tend to make excuses and play around while work.
And then they get mad if you correct them and try to imply that you're wrong.
Yes.
You notice that?
I do notice that, yes.
Both these groups grew up in socialized atmospheres.
Blacks and Hispanics.
Yep.
That's what it is, you think?
Part of it, I think.
They feel entitled.
The whole culture is corrupt. In Mexico, it's corrupt, and in, you know, most of the black America, it's corrupt.
And so you're not, are either one of you surprised that Barack Obama screwed up this relationship with Karzai and the rest of the world because he's lazy, too, and don't want to work and doesn't want to work and messed up the whole country?
No.
He admitted that he was lazy.
And he's not the kind to confront privately. He's the kind to talk trash about you publicly. Behind your back.
That's what they'll do, too. They don't work well, but then they'll talk about you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What happened to my people? So, Andre, I have you on record saying that I'm not wrong about the blacks and the Mexicans.
Oh, I've said that a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. And, James, I have you on record saying that I'm not wrong.
Yes.
So, the last question. Because I got a thing from AC of Ways of Gray, and he's trying to prove me wrong.
Hello.
So when you see the blacks giving me or trying to give me a hard time when I give them orders and try to get them to work and do the right thing, what are you thinking here?
Oh, that they're just they're resenting the pressure.
Oh.
They're mad at the pressure that you're putting on them.
And what are you thinking, Andre?
I don't know. I've never thought of it that way. Maybe I'm not paying attention.
You just look at them and roll their eye. Your eye.
I don't know, honestly. I've never paid attention to what my reaction at that point.
AC say that the Tuskegee Airmen was run by blacks. Wasn't it? I think that's what you want to say. It's a typo error. That is an organization that was run by blacks and ended up being better than the U.S. Air Force. Does that count for a black organization that was good?
But that was back then, right?
Thank you.
And that's different.
They were in a totally different culture,
yep.
A no excuses culture.
That's right.
That's why they did better.
Amen. That's exactly what I was going to say. And during those days when I was growing up, blacks were not like this. We didn't know welfare. We didn't rely on someone to take care of us. So we worked hard. That's all we knew. And so the Tuskegee Airmen, that's how they were because that's how Tuskegee was at the time. If you go to Tuskegee Institute now that was started by Booker T. Washington, it's total socialism. And the complaints about the black students compared to the other students, the foreign students and mm-hmm. others, are out of control. I mean, overwhelming. The last time I went there, that's all I heard, how bad the black students were.
Not surprised.
They have free money, they can go to school there for free, and they are too lazy to show up to register. Thank you, guys.
What's the trait you most deplore in yourself and the trait you most deplore in others?
Laziness.
You're lazy?
You know, it's interesting. There is a deep down underneath all the work I do, I think there's a laziness in me.
Wow. That's deplorable. But we see now that it's true. He is lazy. All he wants to do is play golf and basketball. And look at the country now. But he's telling the truth. And give those old stupid speeches. It's easy to stand up and give a speech reading from the teleprompter. Just speeches, just words. But we're talking about why isn't that... We have lost relationship with Afghanistan. one that Bush built up. And Donald Rumsfeld said that an ape could have done it better than what Obama has done. Ways of Grace said, point well taken. Once we explained that Tuskegee Airmen were different men, they were cut from a different cloth than the blacks are today. We were talking about how Obama has not only screwed up this country, but foreign relations as well. Even with the Afghanistan president, he no longer has a good relationship with that guy. And Bush maintained that relationship. Now it's downhill. Rumsfeld said that a trained ape can do better than Obama. And so I got a text from Ermins, my PR guy. He said, Rumsfeld said a trained ape can do better than Obama. So Obama could outperform an untrained ape? That's cute, Ermins. Okay, I like it. Let me go to Mays out of Dayton. Mays, you wanted to respond to the work ethics that most black people lack today.
Oh, I didn't say that. I was talking about the real thing where most people black people have to train. We can take your office for an example. All the people that you're training there, that they're going to learn from you and take it and use it as if it was their own.
That's okay that's with
we
me.
Always have to train. We have to always have to train Caucasians, and then they move above us.
What are you
talking about? Black people.
Black and people have to train Caucasians,
yeah,
and then they
train them all the time.
What are you talking about?
We have to train them.
How you train them?
Teach them how to do stuff.
Oh, you teach them how to be. You teach them how to be lazy.
No. Then they get promoted, and then act as if you didn't train them to do what they're doing, and so they don't learn how to do it on their own. We always train them.
I have breaking news.
They don't know how to do nothing.
Look at
Ben Carson.
Maze, I have breaking news for you. This is just in. It's getting serious. Obama just threatened to unfriend Putin on Facebook.
You're right, on Facebook. Did you hear the president say it? That's the ignorance of y'all. And now I have a question for you and Curtin. I got something for him. I got, when they create it, I want to be the first one to endorse it, to turn y'all the color that y'all want to be so y'all won't have to represent the black community.
What are you talking about, Maze?
Because y'all hate it so much.
Maze, you really think I hate the black community?
Yes, you do. You don't hate the black community. You hate being black.
Can you give me proof of that? In the last hour, the first hour of the show today, we talked about the fact that America has lost relationship. Obama has lost relationship with Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, whereas President Bush and others had a good relationship with him, and now it's gone. And it's being reported that Obama does not have a relationship with any of the allies around the world. He's screwed up all of those relationships, and even with the heads of our enemies around the world. And that I asked the question, why is it that whenever black people take over something, it goes down the hill? It doesn't work. Black people don't know how to run businesses. They don't know how to run communities. They don't know how to do anything. And Obama admitted that he's lazy. And so I'm thinking that's why he didn't keep this relationship with Karzai of Afghanistan, because he was too lazy to call the guy. He just wanted to play golf. And Obama admitted to Barbara Walters that he is lazy. And I know that most black people are lazy. And the Hispanics are too, and those that will work, they steal from you. But white people tend to take care of things. They work hard. Look at their businesses. Look at their communities. Look at their children. They work hard. You could put... White people can move out of a nice, beautiful, groomed community, and blacks will move in. It's a ghetto overnight. And also with Hispanics, they'll move in, and they bring the chickens and the hogs. They have clothes hanging out. They have cars in the driveways where they've been working on them, all over the drive. It's a mess. What's wrong with color folks? And examples of Compton, California, Chicago, Houston, Gary, Indiana, Detroit. And I'm bringing that up because some of you didn't hear the first hour, so make sure you podcast. My producer, James, who is white, he came in and he testified that, yes, you're right, Mexicans and blacks are like that. And so did Andre about the Mexican. He was scared to say it about the blacks because he's going to have to look at these black folks that are coming up in here this morning. And he doesn't want to have to deal with their attitude, just so scared. And so Mae said that I hate, what did Mae say? At first she said I hate black people, but then she said, no, you hate your color, you hate being black. Am I right, Mae?
Yes, I did say that.
From Dayton, Ohio. So I ask you to hold on to give me proof that I hate. So you admit I don't hate black people, right?
Some.
I hate some black people?
Yes, you do.
Which ones I hate?
Because everything you name, you could find it in a black community, too, if you went to the right one.
I said black community.
And everything you name about trash, you can find it in a white community, too.
Which blacks do I hate?
You hate, I said you hate the color of your skin.
No, you said I hate some black people.
The ones you talk about every day, I guess.
Oh, you guess. And why do you say I hate being black?
Because you want to go everywhere white people go because you think that they keep everything nice. You think that they do everything right. Which you're wrong.
Well, how am I wrong?
I don't know. Maybe you need to go down down where you came from. Just like I told you over in the trailer park, go check them out and see what you see over in there. And come back and tell them, and you'll take the little staff with you. But I say they always got to do, just like you said, the white man march, where do you think they got that from?
Maze, let me ask.
They got to even use that they got from us to do that, too.
Maze, but all you people do is, yeah, you can organize a march to complain and be upset because a white man won't give you something. That's easy to do.
Nobody's listening to them anymore, Jesse. That's the problem. They done caused so much destruction and keeping people. It's like with the president. We don't need people. We don't want people to like them because he has a problem.
Maze, listen.
What?
Andre says here, Andre is asking me to ask you. He said, yeah, that's true. You can find trashy white people.
But do you hear white man sitting on the radio
doing that? Hold on. What? White community. But give us one example of a good black community. Just one.
You can go to Maryland. The richest, you can go to Maryland and you can find rich black people there. You can go down in Montgomery, Alabama, and you can find neighborhoods
where black people are in control.
Where black people live and run things.
No, tell one where black people are running it.
What'd you say?
Name one where black people are running it.
That's what I said.
Those rich black people you're talking about have moved into the white
community. They have not moved. They live in black communities where they run their own, they keep their yards pretty and everything else, but people think that they're white communities, but they're black people living in them.
Right.
So you don't go around no kind of people. You want to go down, but you go down to what poor white trash is, you don't find no white man sitting on no radio talking about his poor white trash. Only people you find like that is people like you saying poor white people, oh no, what, we just saying we can't see.
White people complain about each other.
Yeah, right. Do we have one sitting on the radio? Because Rush Limbaugh, the biggest drug addict it is.
Maze.
Y'all don't even have no problem about him.
Maze, but tell me, real fast, man.
Women don't even like him no more.
Give me an example of...
Go to Atlanta, you a fan.
No, tell me why I hate my color. You said
you hate your color because you're always saying you want to go where white people are. You said they going out of space. You want to go out there too. You the only one going to live because the closer they get to the sun, it's going to mess them up.
But
they're going to need somebody like you. But the difference is that they
Maze.
What?
If you don't calm down, I'm going to come there and I'm going to bring my belt.
I'm going to bring my Hitler stick to you because that's what you need. And
Atlanta is not a good example. They are begging white people to move back to Atlanta, Maze, because Atlanta at one point was a beautiful, beautiful city. And then the blacks took over, and the white folks left, and now they're begging the white people to please come back.
You're right, Jesse. That's what you say.
Tell me one last try. Tell me something about you said I hate my black. The proof is I want to move.
You hate your blackness. That's what I said.
And the proof is I want to move to outer space with the whites.
Yeah, you say it every day.
I want to do that, Maze, because I'm not going to live in a ghetto. I was raised in a ghetto. I'm not going to stay in no ghetto. Just to make black people feel good. You're not going to find me living in a ghetto. You crazy?
Can I make my point?
And then as far as you're right. You don't live in a ghetto.
I
offer
don't, but
you,
I can go to,
Mike from San Antonio, Texas offered you a free house
for
a whole year.
And I'm also offering
him
a
free Ohio. Listen, mate. He offered you a year's free rent and his house that he's rented out there in Ohio in the ghetto. You turned it down.
But I'm not looking for anything free. See, just before you get a Caucasian mixed up, the black people are always looking for something free. You'd be surprised every time something free is given away, who's in the back of the line and who's in the front to get the free stuff.
And it's Mike told us that you lived in a white community. You denied it.
I don't live
it.
In a white community. I live in a black community.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You don't tell me where I live. But anyway, you're just trying to change the conversation.
Okay, let's do FaceTime and show me your community.
Jesse, but what white people getting mixed up is when people don't want to act like...
I got to take a break. I got to take a break. Back in a moment.
Wasn't that nice? A beautiful piece of white history. That was JLP from 2014. Jesse Lee Peterson is out of town, along with Sean. Sean, too, is out of town for a few days here. But we're still going on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Happy White History Month. We'll be right back after this break to your super chats and your calls if you would like to call in. 888-77-JESSE, 1-888-775-3773. Back in a moment.
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
This is the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. JLP is out of town. He's fine, guys. Calm down. We are doing replays and guest hosting today on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. You can call in if you would like. 888-77-JESSE, 1-888-775-3773. The Hake Report is coming up after JLP today at 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. And American Anchor Baby is coming up after that. At noon Pacific time, American Anchor Baby on YouTube as well as on Rumble. So check him out. He may be co-hosting alongside me. So if you have a question for Hake or American Anchor Baby, Nicolas, or even Hassan over here, we can get to your calls. But we have a lot of super chats. Yesterday was Church with Jesse Lee Peterson. But Jesse Lee Peterson was out, and Joel Friday, host of Joel Friday TV, was leading the service, and he did a nice job. Check that out. You can go to rebuildingtheman.com/church for that. And we have some super chats from that. So let's get to the super chats.
Super chats.
Super chats.
Nice. How you doing, Hassan?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine as well, man. How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Was debating to either go see that Oppenheimer film.
Okay. Is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know.
I always read it as Oppenheimer.
That's what it is.
What a cool name, huh? Oppenheimer.
It sounds very strong.
Was he Jewish or German or both or just a regular old American?
I don't know.
Oppenheimer,
that's
right?
Why I need to see the film. Get my history lesson.
Get your history from the movies.
Yeah. It was either going to be that or I was going to go real, real soft and go see Barbie. So it was going to either be real hardcore or real soft.
Oppenheimer did the atomic bomb. He was involved in the atomic bomb, right? The Manhattan Project, something like that?
Yeah.
And Barbie is a Mattel toy.
It's true.
But it has that one guy who's a somewhat respected actor. What's that guy's name?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. I've heard mixed reviews about it. I've heard bad things, and I've heard very good things, actually. Mm. So I actually have a review to read on the Hake Report.
Oh, that
I think
nice.
I made. Yeah, because I saw scenes of it, and I'm like, this does not look fun at all. It does not look attractive. It just looks silly. But you like movies like that.
Well, I like both of them as actors, I think.
Yeah, that Peaky Blinders guy? Oh, you're talking about Margot Robbie.
Yeah, Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
But
I've never seen
him too, the Oppenheimer guy.
I don't know if I've ever seen her act. I haven't seen any of her movies.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't she play like Harley Quinn?
Yeah, but that's like silly. Have you seen have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
No. I have not.
I mean, it might be.
Is it an emergency?
Well, I don't want to like recommend that to you because it's kind of vulgar.
I can handle vulgar movies. It's just I like to keep it clean for my show.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying.
Right.
I don't know. I just was kind of mad. But yeah, she's pretty decent.
Okay. I know she's supposed to be pretty. I think of her as pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Anyway, let's get to Super Chats. Do you want to read any of these?
Sure.
It may expose you to the church service stuff. On Church with Jesse Lee Peterson, it was Church with Joelle Friday TV. You go ahead and kick them off.
Okay. Let's see here. We got RP. Welcome to the channel. New supporter.
Nice. A Bond channel supporter.
And Mr. J. Always mention the Sandman. 9 months all the way from Arkansas.
9 months. What is he talking about? 9 months. I know that a pregnancy is usually 9 months. 9 months all the way from Arkansas. Nice. Well, thank you, Mr. J. Appreciate that. And RP.
Cool. Yes, thank you. And Ryan 8U, no message.
Mario Valdo says, good morning, Jesse and crew. Well, good morning, Jesse. Maybe he's listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake, Hassan, and Nicolas. Amazing fellowship day with Joelle. That's Joelle Friday. He's also on live on Tuesdays, Joelle Friday TV. Live on Tuesdays, right after Hake. Appreciate and love you guys, says Mario Valdo. Jesse, have a safe trip and back home. God bless y'all. Heart emoji. Very cool. Mr. J is back with another one. He says, chilling with Mr. Sandman. That's Hassan's dog. And he told me how amazing Joelle did at church. Amazing stuff, Joelle. E-black. Right on. Mr. Sandman, does he know Joelle?
No, not yet.
Okay.
That's a shame.
I know. You got to rectify that.
I know.
Have you ever had a rap duet with Joelle Friday?
We've had some rapping.
Nice.
We've had some rap, little rap sessions.
It's unreleased or
that's true.
Underground, limited edition.
Oh, yeah, we've filmed a lot of, you know, I'm going to be guest hosting Joelle Friday TV tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So maybe we'll unpack some of these unreleased
cool.
Things of us.
Joelle Friday. R.H. Hernandez the Fourth says, that's Arkansas, baby. Nice. Or Arkansas. I heard that it's illegal to say Arkansas in Arkansas.
I think I heard that.
This man called into the Jason Lee Peterson show. Do you remember how to pronounce this name? Nick, do you remember how to pronounce this?
Elysia.
Elysia. Elysia.
Yeah, we need Nick.
Elise Aurelian. And he called into the Jason Lee Peterson show and explained it.
Ouch.
Morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. What's up?
Elise? Elise.
Elise?
Elise.
That's how he said it?
Yeah. He said it all French.
I know.
Like a...
Elise.
And he looks black. Aurelian. Aurelian. He says, have
it'd
a blessed...
Aurelian.
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 An E sounds like an O, huh? Le petit enfant.
Exactly.
Okay. That means the little infant.
Yes.
Right? The little baby.
Petit garçon.
I said, what's my... I asked my mother, what's my name? And she's all, le petit enfant. I was the baby of the family. Uh-huh. And so she called me like little baby.
Oh, gotcha.
And so for... People at school would ask me my name, and I would say, le petit enfant.
She but told you that was your name.
Yeah. And she never corrected the record. That's abusive.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrible, huh? Mothers.
That's really funny, actually.
You'll always be my baby. Elise Aurelion says, have a blessed week, guys, or blessed week, guys. Joelle is on fire with a fire emoji. Thank you, Elise Aurelion. That's cool. You want to read this number three?
Yes, Piotr Robel. Amazing fellowship already, Joel. He black. Much love from UK. I wish you well.
That's true. Joel told his story. You got to check that out, Hassan.
Yeah.
Hassan went to the beach or something. No, I don't know.
I went to saw Barbie.
Joel told his story. And some of that stuff I didn't know. Some of it I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day he came to the men's forum, rode his bike from Covina or wherever he was living, Glendora, and then or somewhere in the Inland Empire, maybe even Rancho Cucamonga. And then came to the men's forum first Thursday, and then that Sunday he came to church, and then we have this clip. It's called What's that thing when you're intervention? Because he was a 25-year-old living in it with his mama. What's funny is I was 25 when I came to church, and I was still living with my... I was back living with my parents. Terrible.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was cool. Lord BB42's been a Bond Channel supporter, a member, for 13 months. That's a baker's dozen. Says, Joel Friday on a Sunday is amazing. Thank you for that incredible opening. God bless. Yeah, and he told about how he, something about the anger rung true with Joel, and he knew that you should address issues rather than and speak up.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought that JLP was crazy, but he started watching like all of his videos, and then he came to the men's forum, then came to church, and then, he eventually moved out, got a job, got a car, and worked as a board operator for 4 years or so. And then he started to see JLP as a superhero. And wow. He would trust JLP's word without seeing for himself and not trusting God within, as he called it. And then he talked about Jesse Thumpin and how people... just pound people with the stuff that they learn from Jesse, thinking that they're being like Jesse.
Right.
They're being
me.
Embarrassing.
Jesse Thumpin. Sure.
Yeah. It was cool. It was a perfect topic, to be honest. So thank you, Lord Bibby42. It was an incredible opening. God bless. Hassan.
Nice. And from Clear Voice, great Bond fellowship.
Clear Voice 1000, that
is. Oh, yeah. Clear Voice 1000.
Gotta put respect on the name.
Yeah. With a nice like a sword kind of logo.
Oh, true.
What?
Yeah, it has a sword and a
like sword?
A sword.
Oh, okay.
You like that? You like how I said that?
I actually like that a lot.
Yeah. Coldberger Art with a his usual donation. Thank you, Coldberger Art. Amazing fellowship. Joel, he back. Almost read he black. Nice.
And from the writer, Nick, watch Miles Davis Montreux 1989 live concert on YouTube. Since you're a jazz cat, you will dig it.
I think I have.
You've seen it?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Montreux? Is that Miles Davis Montreux 1989?
Let me look at the video. If I've seen it, I'll know it.
Enjoy your take. He says, oh, finish the thing while he's looking for it.
Enjoy your takes on music on your YouTube show.
Oh, thanks. Right on. Yeah.
Yeah, they were interesting.
Appreciate that.
He's way ahead of you. He's already seen it.
Definitely seen this, man. Miles Davis.
He was there.
He's the one who plays the trumpet, right?
Huh? Exactly.
He plays horn trumpet. Player.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, horns. Any type of horn.
Trumpet. Just jazz guys like to say horn.
Right.
I heard later on in his later years of performing, he would just do complete experimental stuff where the audience would be kind of upset, but he didn't care.
A lot of these guys did too. Coltrane.
Nice.
They went into what they call free jazz. Retrospectively, they call that era free jazz.
Right. Oh, okay. So they didn't call
it. Say what you want.
At the time when they were doing it, it wasn't called free jazz.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And yeah. Anyways,
I learned about Miles Davis in Afro-American music history at Pasadena City College.
That's so wrong. Afro-American. Yeah. What did they call it?
Afro-American music history.
It's just American. Right. And assigning a color to it is silly, in my opinion, because music is more like a historical ledger if you look at it.
We would hear Bill Evans or Gil Scott. Gil Evans or Bill Evans?
Bill Evans.
And some of these other guys, those were Jews, right? White Jews?
Right.
Or something?
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Smithsonian Institute of, I don't know, classic jazz, volume whatever.
Yeah.
And we had to listen to it and recognize the song, and that was our test.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was fun. Bobby Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
Save your money. Don't get nervous. He was entertaining.
Music is just like cult people coming together, interacting, trading, fighting.
Yeah.
And it's just a ledger of history. It's no assigning a color to it is interesting.
Right. For sure. But he did talk about how like Aretha Franklin and these others would kind of, in their culture, like the churches would build them up. Come on, belt it out. Sing it with your diaphragm or chest. and you could hear her. I heard like a clip of Aretha Franklin in her church as a little kid, I guess, or a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the crowd is encouraging her to go loud. And then she eventually starts belting it. And then she talked about, or he talked about how when the black baby is being sung to by the mother, it's like this deep voice all.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a white, it's like high pitched baby voice.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
That's actually interesting.
Yeah.
Weird name, but cool subject matter.
Right. Yeah, it was fun. Analyst, this is your set, huh?
Oh yeah. Shout out to Bob Evans. Analyst Aya asked Joel, when does the flesh end and the spirit begin?
Oh, yeah. It might be Ayi. Ayi? A-Y-I.
Aya.
Aya.
No, I don't know.
Aya?
I don't know.
Ayi?
A-Y what?
Ay.
I don't know.
Ayi?
Aya.
She's black. She looks black anyway.
Ayo.
Perhaps light skin. I asked this question in church, and Joel didn't think that it was, that there is really an end and beginning like that. And I kind of agree. Like JLP says, everything is spiritual, and we're a spirit living in a body. And it's good to be able to separate your identity with your body from, separate from that false identity with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And like the desires and all that. But he had an interesting answer to that. We read that in church. It was the only super chat that I read in church. Do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he said that they, I think he was saying that, you might have to check it out, guys, and go back. But if I remember, he was saying that basically they live simultaneously.
Yeah.
And he didn't really see an end or begin to either of them.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
that's what he said.
In some ways, the body is evidence of how your spirit has been.
That's true.
Over time, you know?
Exactly.
Because if you're, a lot of fat people wear their problem, or smokers, or whatever issue that you have, you end up, your body kind of, or people have tics and they're out of shape or they're in shape, and it just kind of is evidence of something that's going on.
Totally. Yeah, the physical represents the immaterial many times.
You can often tell, even if a person is in shape, by looking at them, that it's like a compensation in shape rather than real.
Right.
Like it's something like they're insecure or they got an issue, so they just pour themselves into being fit and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can see that.
You can kind of see when he's fit, but he's not a man.
Yeah, he's still... No, I
respect the fitness. Not taking that away.
Totally.
I mean, look at the gays.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are into being in shape because they're so visual. Whereas the lesbians are more emotional, so they're just fat. They let themselves get fat. That's what I heard. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's worth it even trying to ponder, right? Because what would be the purpose?
Yeah.
It seems like a purposeless. Like,
yeah.
Where is it in? Like, maybe we just don't understand what they're saying. Because I thought they were saying, I didn't understand if they were trying to figure out, like, actually, like, a gradient where, like,
yeah. Or because some of the stuff that goes on in your mind, you may feel very spiritual,
right?
But you're just being emotional,
right?
And so, in that sense, like, what is the spirit? It definitely affects the body, and if your spirit's weak, I guess your body can make your spirit spiral even more. But yeah, I didn't exactly know what she was talking about either. I kind of wished it was a call or something. What do you say about the spirit versus the body?
Where
does one end and the other begin?
Yeah, I kind of hear what you guys are saying. I sort of agree, and I also think maybe in a lot of ways, I think that when we receive kind of the Holy Spirit or what we say is born again, I think when the Holy Spirit truly comes, I think that's where the flesh ends.
No, go on, sorry.
I mean, not in a sense, though, because, like, even what Paul talked about, like, still dealing with the thorn in the side and the thorn in the flesh. So we do still deal with it. But in all actuality, I don't know. I think it really, I don't know. It's something to think about.
Yeah, I was thinking she might have been asking that she was either asking some gradient question or... When does one end and the other start? Like, actually, like, do you one day, does the flesh, do you die from the flesh, I guess? And what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, because I think it's like once you wake up in the spirit, you almost kind of realize that you living by the flesh the whole time has never, like, it's never kind of existed.
I was talking with someone about depression, and they were saying how it's not real, right? And I feel like we've been saying that.
Yeah.
People on the conservative side, and we've just been kind of saying, like, it's not real. And it really isn't. But it is real if it's because it's a spiritual thing. You're being affected by something. But it's weird how if you just, like, Satan doesn't have any power over you as soon as you realize it's him.
Uh-huh.
So it's not real. But
yeah.
kind of what you're saying, like, you realize it's never been affecting you.
Yeah.
What Hassan was saying, basically.
Kind of like the self-fulfilling prophecy of believing in the racism thing or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things JLP asked in the old services was, do you have to ask for the Holy Spirit, or are you born with it?
I think you're born with it. I think you're born with it, but it then gets corrupted at some point, or something happens.
Satan hides it in plain sight. You know, he puts just something over it, like, I don't know, where'd it go?
Yeah.
Because it feels like I've had... when I look back now, it seems like I've always had something helping me out because, you know,
true.
I'm all right.
Yeah, I think that it seems like God made us and he put the breath of life in us or whatever. And until I think that we have it, it's just a matter of seeing it, maybe.
Yeah, because when you realize, I'm sorry, when you hear it, don't you, when you start recognizing it later in life, you start remembering all the times it was talking to you in your past?
It's like something that you already knew. It's so obvious, but you forgot or you don't care or you just ignore it or you want something more complicated.
Right. And you recognize all the little times from the, that was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll be right back to your calls and more stuff. News, Hague News coming in.
We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy, they're miserable, they have rough lives, they're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand, I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is immigration out of control. The so-called presidential race, boring, but a whole bunch of speculation. Ukraine propaganda, and it's hot out. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake, Nick, and Hassan, with some old throwback replays of JLP. Happy White History Month, everybody. We will be right back to your calls if you would like to call in. And super chats and throwbacks for hour two. But first, Hake News, not fake news. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, this is immigration, faces a deadline today to commit to the removal of floating barriers. You heard about this on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show on perhaps Friday at the U.S.-Mexico border on the Rio Grande, or face legal action from the so-called Justice Department, the Injustice Department, we call it. Or I do, and our greatest president, Trump. Internal discussions are about taking action against Texas date back to last year when Governor Greg Abbott, the wheelchair-bound rhino governor, who's trying to do a little bit to deter the invasion, began busing migrants to cities nationwide without alerting officials, and have continued following the deployments of buoys, in the Rio Grande, which pose a potential drowning risk to migrants, invaders who want to illegally cross the Rio Grande into the American side without going the right way. Oh, they could drown. It's there. Anyway, this comes after more than 80 Democrat lawmakers sent a letter to so-called President Sleepy Joe Biden on Friday, urging him to investigate Greg Abbott's dangerous and cruel actions. Abbott has also allowed the use of sharp razor wire, and that's a quote, on the river, in the river, wow, creating death traps for migrants and violating U.S. treaty commitments with Mexico, so said the letter. Oh, so we have a letter, a treaty allowing them to come here and making it safe for them and cushy for the illegals to invade? What a mess. In response, Greg Abbott took to Twitter to defend his actions, saying his state has sovereign authority to defend his border. And the presidential race, 7 Republican presidential candidates have met the polling requirements to appear on the August 23rd debate stage following new polling from Fox Business in Iowa and South Carolina. Our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, who I don't think plans to debate, but we'll see. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, shout out to Ron DeSantis. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. Former Vice President Mike Pence. Oh, he made it after all. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, also the former UN ambassador. sleazy rhino India Indian gal. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, not to be confused with our real guy in the chat. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, the fat rhino. Shout out to the fat rhinos. They've reached 1% or higher in at least two qualifying national polls and two qualifying state polls from separate states, a requirement set by Republican National Committee, more like the Rhino National Committee. Candidates must also meet fundraising criteria and signed a pledge. Oh, Pence maybe didn't meet the fundraising criteria yet. Maybe he has. Oh, yeah, he has not. He's met the polling threshold, but says he has not reached the fundraising threshold. Anyway, they have to sign a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee to qualify for the debate. Oh, Lord, give me a break. Anyway, Ukraine propaganda. Ukraine's unchristian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has vowed to retaliate against Moscow after Russian missiles badly damaged a historic cathedral in the port city of Odessa. That's why I urge them, give up. I could be wrong, though. Following the attack, Volodymyr Zelensky reiterated his call for more air defense systems, saying a full-fledged sky shield is the only way to defeat Russian missile terror. Ukraine's received new armored vehicles and weaponry from the United States and so-called allies. Kiev's air defense systems are struggling to fend off Russian assaults because they're ill-equipped to knock down certain types of missiles. Still, Ukraine's defense minister, Oleksiy Reznikov. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am James Hake, filling in for the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, alongside...
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello and welcome to Plato's Cave, coming to you from Australia, the land down under, for Revolution Radio, revolution.radio. That's right. It's home to fresh ideas. Ideas are good. Independent Thought Alarm. And also, conversations in the chat room, which are awesome. I'm going to be in there in a second. And merch, if you're so inclined. Station is not supported by anyone making super profits. So, if you can donate, that would be great. Any currency, crypto is good, you know, but anything is good. Or maybe you can't. And you know, that's really understandable these days because times are tough all over. But maybe you can tell somebody. Friends, family, complete strangers in the street. Run up to them and shake them. Grab them by the shoulders and tell them, you must listen to Revolution Radio, I tell you. Ideally, Plato's Cave or Shiny Side Out, but any show will do. And then you must donate. Actually, I probably should say that you shouldn't do that. Because they'll lock you up for it. But if you can tell your friends, the family, that'd be great. Today is the 25th of July, 2023. It's a Tuesday. It's Tuesday, that's right. You can catch The Cave, on the ground, on air, on the line, and onto the smart devices that you have. So grab an app to listen anywhere or listen at home on Grace Tabletop Digital Radio. And what's even better and might persuade you to donate is that the archives are free. Go to the home page, revolution.radio, pretty easy to find, www. Right? And just go up there, it says archives, which helps on the nav bar. On the nav bar, it says archives. Go in there, click through, and it will lead you to the archives, which you can listen to entirely free of charge. That's pretty cool. Now, before we start broadcasting at you in anger, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which we broadcast. And for Dave?
I'm broadcasting from Darkindjung country.
Thank you, sir. Myself from the beautiful country of the Dirac people, and we would like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and also future.
Great.
Indeed. Indeed, it is. It is of greatness, a great many greatnesses. I tell you what, though, it's getting hot in the Northern Hemisphere.
Tomorrow, 50 degrees somewhere. Crazy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I know people say, oh, it's been hot before. True. That's true. It's true. It's been hot before. not quite like this. And it's funny when the summers happen now in the Northern Hemisphere, and then the summer, of course, after that in the Southern Hemisphere, because, you know, as you know, the seasons are reversed. Also, it wouldn't happen on a flat Earth. Just throwing it in there. So, seasons are reversed, and the hemisphere, the Northern Hemisphere, is on fire. Canada, a lot of Europe, Northern Africa, China, and there's flooding as well. Flooding and rain. And in fact, horrific flooding across most of Asia as well. Storms.
Through the equatorial region right now, right?
Yeah. And thousands of tourists have now been evacuated because, of course, see, the thing is this, July and August, and I remember this vividly, in Europe, it's when you have your big summer break. It's 6 weeks. And everybody goes somewhere, and a lot of the northern and western Europeans like to go to the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
It's close. Yeah.
Spain.
It's close and it's warm. It's, you know, it's hella. It's the Mediterranean.
You used to be able to go to Crimea.
Yeah, well, not so much anymore.
Not so much.
That's maybe next year. But now you are essentially seeing thousands upon thousands of tourists evacuated, which is of course a catastrophe for the Greek economy.
Yeah.
And depending on how this heat wave is going to sustain itself for other Mediterranean nations as well, certainly Italy. I mean, it's hot, and it is crazy hot. And we need to understand this, everybody. It actually is crazy hot. So
I'm going to throw something in there before we leave the hot part with the flames and the people. Anyway, I was going to say, I'm used to a campfire, Mickey. In middle of winter. Nice campfire,
yeah,
not too close, not too far away, just right. And one with a solid back so you don't get the influx of cool air on your back, right? You enjoy it. Beautiful campfire.
Yeah.
And what does that do? It warms you up. So when there is excessive heat in the atmosphere, that's all you need, isn't it? Is that the added burden of additional heat fueling the heat wave, more fires. So not only is it just perpetuated by the sun's energy, you know, just moving hot air around, but it's now also got the accelerator of fire.
Yeah.
And the fires, and the size they're on, or they're actually at, I would say, are adding to that temperature, because, you know, Mickey, where was it that, do you remember where they said that it was going to be 50 degrees tomorrow Celsius?
It was Sicily, I want to say, but I could be wrong.
I'm going to check it out.
It was yeah, but I mean, that's just, I mean, those temperatures are, I can tell you, okay, I haven't lived in Europe for 30 years, I understand, right? But I lived there for 20 years, right? I was born there, and then I came to Australia when I was 19. In fact, yeah, I celebrated my 19th birthday here, so it was 19 and a half when I came. But anyway, the point is, it's inconceivable to even entertain the thought of any such temperature in Europe at the time when I was there. Inconceivable. We're talking Dubai now. We're talking Sahara. We're talking Death Valley. That's the point. We're talking Death Valley. Yes, yes, temperatures like that exist.
They absolutely do. Death Valley, Saudi Arabia.
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why it's called? You know why it's not called Paradise Valley? Because it's too hot.
I don't know.
It'll kill you.
Oh.
It'll kill you dead. Very quickly. And that is the point here. And I know a lot of people are going, oh, you know, the Plato guys, the shiny side artists, they're shills, you know, for the establishment. Shills. No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
This is reality, okay? And the problem is, again, if we were shills, we'd say, it's not a problem, don't worry about it. It's okay, you'll be fine, it's all good. No, it's not going to be fine, and you're not going to be good. You must prepare now. And no one in the world tells you this. We tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else says, we've got to reduce our carbon emissions. That ship has sailed.
It's gone.
That plane has flown into the coal dust. Okay? It's gone.
We are way past fixing it. But you remember, the guilted fix was on us when it wasn't us doing it.
That's right.
It was the large polluters that were doing it. If you're going to attribute it to anyone, as them, not us.
I want to introduce
6% of the global emissions are created by humans personally.
Yeah, there's a theme here, guys and girls. There's a theme. The economy. Oh, that's the workers' fault. They're getting paid too much. This inflation thing. Or, you know, that's several hundred thousand people in Australia need to be lose their job, or millions, in fact, globally need to lose their job before it goes. So that's one. So it's the people's fault.
Oh,
global
yeah.
climate change.
Those people.
It's the people. Yep. People. Housing. People. And I'm being Australia specific here, but it's the same in almost every other country. Now, they came up with a plan in Australia to tax the super profits,
yes.
the banks and the resources companies.
Yeah,
because that would pay for all the housing we need. Right? So it is not the mom and pop investors that are killing the housing market. It is not the workers that are killing our economy with high inflation, which mm-hmm. is a nonsense anyway. It is not us consumers going on holidays or driving our cars that are killing, if in fact we are, if we were,
that,
right?
That's right.
That are killing the planet. The polluters, the biggest polluters in the world, and I'm going to say something about water in a second, are corporations.
Energy producers and farming, agriculture.
So we are reaping what our civilization has been sowing for hundreds of years. And hasn't
That's
been,
right.
Hasn't been longer than this. In fact, less than hundreds, probably a couple hundred, if,
mm-hmm.
if that.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing the final death throes of a civilization that is striving for ever greater profits in a system of limited resources.
That's
it's
right.
a complete nonsense. And I agree with Greta Thunberg when she says it. I was so happy when she said it. It's a fantasy that we can chase ever greater profits in a limited
That's
and
right.
finite system.
That's right.
It's not possible. It's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And markets are not self-regulating.
No, they're not.
Because humans. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and water. Now, in Uruguay, and this is just an example, right? But in Uruguay, you can't get any water anymore. The only water you can get, this is in major cities as well. And in rich areas, they can only get brackish salt water because they're pumping that out. Whereas
it's gone down to the salt water table, yeah?
No. They forget that. They actually have to go into the estuaries and pump the water from there. That's what they're
doing. Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, millions of liters a day are being used by industry and foreign industry in that very same country. And you're thinking, this is happening all the world over.
Mm-hmm.
Water, fresh water, is actually, as you think, we've got so much water. Not true. We've got very little fresh water. We've got very, very little fresh water.
That's right.
And it's actually diminishing in its abundance. It's actually becoming less. We don't know why. These big lakes, the Baikal Sea and so forth, they're drying up. We're losing glacial water. We're losing water from the Alps. We're losing water from any large mountain range, as well as from the poles.
That's
and
right.
all that frozen is water is all that ice is fresh water, right?
Yeah.
And we're losing it to seawater. And we're not freezing enough again in the winter to replenish what's there. So rivers are running dry.
Mm-hmm.
So we are facing a massive water crisis, as if we don't have enough to worry about. So imagine a really hot summer with massive fires and no water.
Mm. Now there's a recipe for goodness.
Yes.
I mean disaster, the other one.
So it's almost, and this is what I was going to mention earlier, It is almost as though we were in a terraforming, or, well, not really a terraforming event, but we are seemingly in an event that is changing our world to suit, maybe, I'm just, again, this is Plato's cave. Come
not
on,
us. Right.
Yeah, not us. That is suiting someone, not us. It's not usual, Dave. It's not usual.
No. So, do you know what? We've got a dam, and there's very little snowfall usually. A lot of it's artificial snow. In the snowy river, snowy mountain, you know, power scheme. And so they decided what they're going to do. They're going to pump water up into the dam through renewables. Except there's a lot of losses along the way. And if you're just going to use renewables to pump it up there, why didn't you just use the power from the renewables in the first place?
Yeah.
Because of all the losses, you actually end up in the negative. You can't produce more power with the water than you could that it cost you in power, in kilojoules, to lift it up. So, wow. Could you imagine if the solution, Mickey, was flying jumbo jets full of water and landing them on the American Rockies just so that California kept having water?
Really?
No, I'm just saying, could you imagine?
Oh,
geez, it's a fake scenario.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Just imagine how much that would cost.
I think at that point, cost
is out the window.
Irrelevant. You know what's interesting?
What's that?
Since you mentioned cost.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The Arabs, the Saudis especially, but they have oil, a lot of oil, right?
Oh, yeah.
They don't care about oil at all. Not even in the slightest. You know what they care about?
Water. Online.
They care about water. That's what they care about.
Having much water.
And in fact, they are desert people. They know the value of water.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the most amount of desert plants.
if you live in a desert, then you will appreciate
the
value of water. It is that simple. It really is.
Do you know, I saw that they're building the line, that 100-mile-long building, at sea level.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
You know it's at sea level, right?
The sea?
It's at sea level. Fools!
Oh, my. That's
all
funny.
The people that are hanging off that project, all the basically the who's who of construction, all passed this just so they could build it. I watched a documentary on the architects and the designers and the engineers, and everyone's like all on board. Yeah, it's great. And they said, like, where are we going to put it? We're going to put it right here. And they didn't blink. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, it's going to be good to build, surely. Won't be a lick of good to live there, but it doesn't matter, right? Yeah, woo. Can you remember all those islands that the Saudis built that were just made of sand? Yeah. Oh, a real purity. Yeah. Oh, real purity for a while. And then they... then the ocean did what the ocean does, and then they weren't purdy anymore.
Oh, that's well, look, but again, someone made money along the way, right? That's important.
And that doesn't matter. If you've got so much money, like imagine, have you ever given your child like an amount of money that's obscene to them, right, when they're little and you're in a toy store and you go, I don't care what you buy.
Oh,
there you go. Just run around and buy something.
Yeah.
They will buy anything that they can buy. Not they don't want it. They didn't need it. Certainly didn't need it. And they'll buy anything. And I watched the Saudi prince, I think, talking about this at length, about how they have enough money to invest in a building like this and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And all I could think was, yeah, it's all of those things. And at sea level, you fool. Like, and the rail system will be under sea level that links it all together.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, good luck. They did a flyover, and it was at like 1 meter above sea level. What's okay today, you might not even finish building it before it's inundated.
Uh-huh.
But all the people that made money along the way, man, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Everybody made money, so Dave, shut up.
What do they care about the money? Because I've seen the parties where they just throw money around. I've seen video of people who have
money fight.
Yeah, money fight. More money than I'm going to be very kind. If I had those insane quantities of money, I think I'd have a hard time containing myself like they do. You know, you see supercars or hypercars just parked on the side of the road because they ran out of fuel. I don't want that anymore. Have you seen them? Covered in sand? Does just sitting there? You know, who's got the kids? I don't know. The rumor is, you see, he just drove it until it ran out of fuel and just left it. Got a ride home in his Hummer. I don't know. So, look, that's enough criticism. But crazy. So if you think that's the solution, I really think they have to reflect maybe upon their decision. They're still early days. They could raise it off the ground and get them at least another 10 years or 20 years. If they're lucky.
I think we are living, and this was really the point earlier as well, we're living in complete denial. Not necessarily our esteem.
You are, Mackie. I'm not.
I am. Yes, I am, Dave. guilty as charged. And it's okay. And I mean this. It's okay because you've got a number of choices open to you. But let's examine them for a second, right? You can believe everything that you hear on radio and TV, which of course is a problem because it's all contradictory, right? So
that's
an issue. Or you don't. Maybe you don't. Only some of it, let's say, right? Then you have to find out your own truths, right? And then you might have to do your own research and find out for yourself what's happening. And then you may have to take action. But you may not want to. You don't have to. So you can believe everything that they tell you and not take action. And you can also do your research and then you find out stuff, but you still don't want to take action. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
You know, action takes time and money and effort, and sometimes it's scary.
It is. I mean, who are we to tell you what to do? And we, mm-hmm. we have no right. We have no right. But in my estimation, there's not a lot of time, and most of us can't afford to you know, go on a generation ship, build a generation ship, build a deep bunker or whatever. But we need to do what we can do. And, you know, as little as it may be. But I do hope that you can find something to help yourselves and your family, right? And then, of course, you can actively engage in changing. Run for office, right? Start a movement. Start maybe organizing, community organizing to build shelters or seed banks or whatever it might be. Or maybe you can pool resources and buy some farmland on high ground or near water sources or whatever it might be, right? Because these are all things that you can do. Because doing nothing is a choice. You've made a choice. It's okay. It's okay. Still a problem. I probably suggest that you do more than nothing, though.
Mm-hmm.
And really?
I just for everyone, we have a private chat that we can talk to each other in, and you might have heard me typing. It's kind of a lot, but I thought Mackie might have consumed it in little chunks. But there were some revelations last night that came out on Australian Fox News. Shari, Shari, was one of the ones that did an expose on the Wuhan lab bat program, and they they had vision from within the lab that the whistleblowers had taken and shown that they'd been performing all these tests and blah, blah, whatever it was. Now, the video has been confirmed to be authentic from the lab, so it checked out. But what's just come out last night as a Freedom of Information request, but not directly from the platform Slack, that's what it's called, but rather from the, Second Judicial Inquiry or something, Senate Inquiry. So it's one layer down from a full Senate inquiry. It's a smaller inquiry in the US. And they had subpoenaed all of these chats, thousands of chats between all of the physicians. And what they'd been talking about before they released their paper that the virus, and in their definition, was natural, was the fear. This is in their, all of their chats, cumulative discussion that they had, was that they were scared that people would put the two together.
Really?
That it was man-made. And one of them, from Fauci, actually says, this is hearsay, totally hearsay, but it was brought up on Fox News, and I believe that they only run stuff that's been verified. And they've got it in quotes as, and labeling Fauci's text comment. This is still before the paper was released determining it, from all of those scientists, that it was a natural origin. They said, if they find the cleavage site from the gain of function, this is Fauci, the medical people had made, they might themselves, I'm misquoting, determine that it was man-made. So I remember when, was it Rand Paul, was grilling him in an inquiry whether he'd, that he knew that gene sequence had been manipulated, the one from COVID-19.
Really?
And in that grilling, he said, oh, there wasn't any gain of function in that lab. But here he is talking about it. You know, if they find it, they might put the two together. They might realize that the gain of function that was occurring there, blah, 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 blah. So he knew. So that means he lied. I'm not saying he's guilty of anything. I'm only saying the moment that I saw that quote, and I hope it's misquoted because I don't want to be right. Right. And Shari's pretty good. Her other stuff has been pretty good. And let's hope that when all this boils down, if people in the world who had to undergo a whole bunch of stuff and we would have reacted differently if we'd understood that it was man-made rather than natural, right? And all the people who instructed us to do all the things that may not have been good, just simply shutting us down immediately and for a while and isolating people might have been the quickest way through it. But now, hey, what do I know? We had to go through like 3 years of crazy to get to an outcome and enforceably vaccinated against our will, right? Even though it wasn't, they're going to stick it in your arm regardless of you. Just stop wriggling. It's going to make it harder. No, it was through disincentive schemes, right?
Sorry.
Disincentive schemes, it was. They said that you can't travel, you can't do this. I couldn't see my daughter in hospital without being vaccinated. So I had to do that. And these programs and the proof of those vaccinations are still valid today. So to go back into a hospital, you can't go in hospital unless you've been vaccinated. So, yeah, very important. So it was a changing point. It was a time in history which we can never get back. We can't go back in time and fix it. But I'm really super disappointed about the lies. I don't like lies. Lies are bad.
I hear you, and I share your sentiment, however.
Except?
I completely expect it. I mean, see, in my life, this goes for everything except family and friends.
Yeah.
I expect nothing. My expectations are exactly zero, okay? Mm-hmm. And in fact, in some cases, they're below zero. So, I expect the media to lie to me. I expect politicians to lie to me. I expect big business to lie to me. I expect any organized institution, be it secular or religious, to lie to me. That's my expectation. That's my starting point.
Yep.
Right? Because they do. Because the thing is this, right? They all say different things, all of them, right? And contradictory things. So the truth is somewhere, but the vast majority must be lying to me, right? And someone might be telling me the truth, but the vast majority of people that I interact with daily, even indirectly, are lying to me.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's a good premise to start from. And if you have that expectation, then you shouldn't get upset, right? I get upset because I feel that these people think I'm stupid. That's what upsets me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's stupid. He'll just, you know, just tell him whatever you want. And I think that's what you are as well, Dave. I think you're upset because they think, or you think that they think you're stupid, which they probably do, right? They probably think that, you know,
well,
the great unwashed.
They do expect all of the great unwashed to be stupid.
Yeah.
And just listen to them.
Gullible.
And that becomes an autocracy. Or what is it when you don't resist?
Well, the mushroom. No, but yeah, you know, it's, you're right, though. It would be the great sheeple. It's just not a great nation of sheeples.
That's right. Yeah.
Just think of all the things that happened. And since we're talking about the pandemic here a little bit, think of all the things that went on in the pandemic. Now, the pandemic happened before. Very similar scenarios in the Spanish flu.
That's right.
Very similar pictures. But all the things that the government did, the massive lockdowns, you know, for months, specific buildings with minorities, etc., that would not have stood 100 years ago. People wouldn't have stood for it. Okay? Now we just go, okay. And it was really quite interesting. I'll give you a simple example in Sydney. In Sydney, the northern beaches are a massive council. Massive. It's huge.
Yeah.
At the beach, parks, everything. And when the lockdown was on, you were only allowed to be in your council area, right? Now, in the west, the councils or the council areas are usually a bit smaller, right? And so for the northern beaches, which usually has the more affluent people in Sydney, not only, but usually, it was as though the lockdown didn't exist because they never really left the northern beaches anyway.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's just an inside joke in Sydney. Whereas in the west, right, the smaller councils, people had to leave their councils just to go to work. In fact, special dispensations were issued for people so they could go to work. Otherwise, Sydney would have simply come to a standstill.
That's right.
And it was discrimination in its purest form. And
in the northern beaches, there weren't police on every corner.
No.
And you weren't getting locked into your houses.
No.
But in the west, there were.
Yes.
That was actually pretty bad. But see, one of the things, Mickey, that surprised me was just how darn quickly a perfectly working pretend democracy turned into an autocracy.
You see,
like a fascist autocracy. It wasn't doing it for its own good. It was doing it for the good of a very large company.
And a wealthy minority. In fact, it started, the sentiment started in the 1960s. There was a bit of an upheaval because people didn't like it. That led to the hippie movement of the 70s. And then with the 80s and 90s, it sort of mellowed out, but it was the control mechanisms were still being enforced. But people were feeling good. You know, we had beaten communism, blah, blah, blah. And there was a general upbeat mood. There was an upbeat mood in the West, generally speaking, right?
Oh.
And if you didn't live through it, then it's hard for you to understand. But when September 11, 2001 happened, the nexus point of our historical tree here, our little time stream, changed completely. Everything changed with that single event. It was the most ingenious event that could have been planned by anyone to achieve all the things that the parasites wanted. They achieved everything they wanted. The most powerful country in the world was now terrified and uncertain. Fear and uncertainty.
That's right.
Americans said yes to everything and everyone that promised them safety. Oh, we're going to get those evildoers. Let's invade Afghanistan. Not a single Afghani on those planes. Not a
That's
one.
Right. And those Saudis. Yep.
Saudis. Did we invade Saudi Arabia? No, we didn't.
I don't remember that happening.
Iraq had nothing to do with anything.
That's right.
In fact, they hated each other. You have to understand that the Muslim fundamentalists hated the Ba'ath regimes, both in Syria as well as in Iraq. That's why Iran and Iraq also went to war, because they're socialists. I mean, they're autocracies, but they're socialist autocracies, which means they're secular. Right? They're not Islamic states. Iran is, Saudi Arabia is, Afghanistan is again. Lucky, whoo, good for us. Yeah, you know, Islamic state. We need it. But the point is that all of that stuff that happened, all these wars and invasions and infringements upon your civil rights in America, but also in Australia. So in America, the Patriot Act 1, Patriot Act 2, Office of Homeland Security, a new department, mm-hmm. the biggest one since the FBI, right? In Australia, we passed laws like that as well, which nobody read. Nobody read them. I listened to the debates. They said, well, when did we pass this? Last night. Well, you didn't give it to me to read. Don't worry about it. It's something we need to pass. And they're very similar to the Patriot Acts, like, you know, limited freedoms. You can hold someone as long as you want, et cetera, et cetera. And we just gave it away. We gave it all away. And this attitude of having someone to look after you, Dave, that's really what has been fostered over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And when it came to the pandemic, it was already a reflex, you know? I think the government, let's just follow the rules. Yeah. Now, was SARS-CoV-2 as bad as they say? So there are a number of things to unpack here, right? SARS-CoV-2, is it man-made? Is it natural? It does have some terrible effects on fertility. Okay.
That's right.
And we still don't know male fertility.
We won't see the merits of that.
But look, I believe they'll be slowed on the birth rates. In fact, it's already been seeded for the last couple of years. They've been seeding it in the papers and journals.
That's right, saying birth rates are going down.
Yeah,
that's
so it's right. Already seeded. There's an expectation now, right? So when it happens, you're not that surprised. It's a very clever tactic.
I thought it was going to be fast food, but you know that's what Bill Gates said.
Well, you know that would have been a great delivery mechanism as well, right?
Yeah, because you know what. The price point of fast food is perfect for the lower class.
Yeah. Well,
to stop reproducing.
It used to be. Now fast food ain't that cheap no more, my friend.
Well, you're right. That's true. Yeah.
I don't really eat it myself, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, once in a while, the kids want to be treated to McDonald's and we go and have a look, right?
That's right.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap. If I feed my kids, they don't eat, you know, that much. But that's $30.
Easy. But there's four burgers meal thing for $26, they say, right?
So,
that's right. Anyway, I went to the local Asian shop, it'd be $85 for four people. So
that's true. You're right.
You know, I'm just it's all scale, right?
No, you're 100% correct. But yeah, at least you're getting food.
It is food, yes.
and then, of course, there's the vaccine itself, which, again, all of the companies, and there's not just the one vaccine. There were many. Like, I think here in Australia, we ended up having three or four.
Three.
Yeah. And globally, I think there were seven, eight, maybe more.
Yeah.
And all the companies in the West, at least, I'm not too sure about China or Russia or elsewhere, they were completely indemnified against any damages or any claims of damages in the future, mm-hmm. which means any damages you want to bring, you can't bring into the companies, because the company said, well, you know, we really haven't had much time to test these things. And that's a fair enough point. That's actually fair enough. Right? But every government wanted the vaccine now. We need the vaccine now. Give it to us now. Did the vaccine do anything? We still have COVID, or SARS-CoV-2, really. We still have it. We still have variants. People are still getting yep. sick. The flu is pretty bad at the moment in Australia. But again, yeah. you know, the flu has always been bad. And in fact, we have had, you know, we had thousands of people die from the flu, mostly elderly. But mm-hmm. it does happen. It's a thing, right? It's not a surprise.
That's right.
It is the other things with SARS-CoV-2 that are worrying, the you know, the long COVID, as well as the effects on your mental capabilities, because it seems to have some kind of
brain fog.
Exactly.
So not only that, but there's been excess deaths now.
Yes.
After yeah. all the vaccines have been deployed to everybody, and now we're seeing a large spike in what is known as excess deaths. So these are deaths that don't have a particular cause, right, that are unusual and above the baseline background noise of everyday life up until 2019. Yeah. And so all the countries are spiking up, some, you know, 10, 15% greater than normal per day. And I think it's alarming that there isn't any media on it. The only people doing those media or you know, ringing the bell, are YouTube people trying to be very careful to keep their channels alive, but not saying anything specific about it, which is yeah. because they don't want to. You know what? This is big tech and corporate working with the government and big pharma to try and keep their products alive, and just canceling
you. You can't fight. That kind of power. You can only fight if you're all united. Dave sent me this link to this this video of a doctor. It's a doctor.
Yes.
And he goes on at length
without saying any negative impacts.
No. In fact, he's got – so the setup is like you see the doctor, but you also see a pad of paper.
Or like he's doing an overhead projector.
Correct. So yeah. you see it at the same time on your screen. So he talks. Huh? And then when it comes to the stuff that he's not allowed to say, because the thing is this, at this point at least, YouTube's only picking up voice.
That's right.
Right? For censorship, not so much text. And so he would read the text until it comes to the point where he knows he'll be picked up on and either barred or something worse. Who yeah. knows, right? And so you actually have to watch it and read along with him in order to do that. And he's doing that, of course, because he's protecting himself and he wants to get the message out without being shut down, right?
And he's only reading out news stories.
Well, and
articles that research. Are published.
But Dave and I did that as well. So Dave and I read out yeah. research papers, and
yeah.
we had one of our shows taken offline, right? Simply because, actually, I don't even know what the reason was anymore.
Well, I do. It was for medical misinformation.
But it was a study that we were just sharing, which was published on the internet. It was published in a medical journal as well.
A British medical journal it was published yeah. in.
So when we do things like that,
yeah, huh?
like you know, Mr. Jones, we make sure that we take it from sites that the establishment accepts, right? Because I'm not going to start any lawsuits here. I'm not stupid, right? I'm going to take the stuff that I find
right.
off yep. of peer-reviewed sites and say, well, this is medical research, and all of you, you know, scientific method people, you've looked at it and you said, yeah, this is okay, right? So I can share it, right?
Yeah.
In fact, on Sunday we're going to share. If we get to it, some Freedom of Information Act articles with you. Now, this is one article. This is on telepathy, but it's related. So, which I can't find anywhere on the internet. I can't find in any library either.
Yep.
The article, and it's missing four pages. So I've got the photostat of about I want to say about three or four pages. So half the article is missing. And I can't find it anyways. But it's been released. But they only released half the article. I don't know if it was a mistake. Look, but the point is this. There's a lot of information out there that's being released in the public. And even the stuff that's released, you're not allowed to repeat.
That's right. That's really important.
Yeah.
So I heard a thing going on at the moment, because I watched the NASA once again and their inquiry into UAPs, but it's so fake that they've put these, plausible deniability people in, who don't believe in UFOs to begin with, who are say there's no evidence at all, except for all these whistleblowers over the last at least 80 years have all come forward, any evidence on our planet and, you know, historical evidence. Anyway, none of that is important. It's only today. And so they're saying, well, you know, we've the military has stopped us asking questions. Okay. But, you know, we'll present something in 2 weeks' time. Well, that was, I swear, that was a wet sock. They did a whole press conference for an hour to tell us nothing. Nothing. Didn't learn anything.
Nope.
Except for what I just said. That whole hour was condensed to the military stopped us asking questions. Right. That was it. So, well, you know, have you stopped your own children from asking too many questions at one point?
Actually,
oh, honey. Know. Oh, you know, honey, just go to sleep. You're like, it's bedtime. Stop asking. You know, you're exciting yourself. Don't worry about that.
I've never done that.
I haven't either. Because
you shouldn't. No, look, but there's something interesting that was raised in the chat room, and we do look at the chat room, everybody. Yeah. In fact, it was Omega Logos who would like to chime in on the referendum.
Oh, the voice.
The voice. Now, I'll give you, okay, everybody, I'll give you, I've said it before, but I'll give you my 5 cents worth. And then you have plenty of time, Dave, you can give your 5 cents worth. Plenty of time. So essentially, this is the view I have after I have spoken to a lot of people and listened to a lot of people, Aboriginal and otherwise. A lot of Aboriginals say the voice is a complete farce. Essentially, what is happening is that it's just, in their view, this is the view of the Aborigines that are opposing it, or the Indigenous people, it's just it's a token given to them to shut them up. Just shut up. There's something for you, shut up now, right? What they're asking for really is a treaty. Now, why is that important? Look at New Zealand. They have a treaty.
That's right.
There's some other nations in the world that have treaties with the indigenous population. And that is working out usually a lot better for the indigenous population than not. And if you look at the countries that don't have a treaty, like Australia, it's not really that good. So what they're asking for is an actual treaty. Give me a treaty. I get it. You know, I understand that, right? It makes perfect sense to me. So am I supporting the voice as a thing? I did initially, but now I'm not so sure anymore, right? Because what's the point, right? What's the point? And not only that, but we also have to look at it from the point of view of the vast majority of Australians that are in Australia today. Most of the Australians that are in Australia today are not descendants of the First Fleet anymore. It's just not. Right? We just all, me, including me, right? And Dave, I imagine yourself as well. We came after. We came later. Me coming from Germany, and Dave's ancestors also German and I think Irish or something.
Yeah, I've got Irish, Russian, and Dutch.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pizzas. Like everybody from Europe is a pizza.
That's right.
And so there's, I mean, look, I never oppressed or killed Aborigines in the past, nor did my ancestors. My ancestors, they've got other crimes to answer for, right? And there's plenty of those. But we don't have that burden, I guess, right? That the First Fleeters might feel they have, right? And you can argue until you're blue in the face, there are disproportionately more Indigenous people in prison than anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
There are more deaths of Indigenous people in prison than anybody else.
Or in custody, yeah.
Or in custody. There are also more, the child or infant mortality is higher, general health and life expectancy is lower or worse. And it is a fact that the culture that was here was effectively destroyed. And again, that's what normally happens when when a, that's right. When two cultures clash, one usually,
when you're overrun. Yeah.
One loses out. One loses out. That's what happens. So what we need in Australia, if we really want to move forward, okay, if we really want to move forward, then we need to seriously entertain a treaty. That's what I think. Anyway,
all
what
right,
do you think,
right.
Dave?
Well, yeah, let me have a shot. All right. So I've seen the no vote people, and I don't believe what they're pushing is the truth. So I've stayed away from their message. I did read it initially, and they said, oh, they're going to overrun the government. Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, good luck. You know, we've had Native Australians or, you know, original custodians of land in Parliament because, you know, they've gone through the white man system, not because they're dressed in native dress and haven't had an education. They've probably stolen generation. And they've had representation. Did they change the world? No. But Mackie's view that it really is, I'm going to use the term again, wet sock. It is the shut up clause. It is, look, here's just something at least you mentioned now. I don't think it goes far enough. I think the people who are using fear porn to press the argument for no is maybe just a little too soon. Has anyone read the actual statement yet or the changes? I read the ones that they had earlier, but I haven't read the new ones. So I think there's been some amendments to it. I'd like to read that and make my own informed decision about which way I should go. Yeah, I think it's very important for everybody to make an informed decision, but it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. What are the legal ramifications of creating a group of people who can only advise the government? They can't create policies on their own. They need sponsors to do that for them. They can't change or vote in Parliament, so can't change bills. So, yes, I think it might be purely token at the moment. If you're going to argue that it's the thin edge of the wedge and, man, it's all going to change, you know, it's the end of Australia, we're going to give it back to them. Aha! Great. I love where you went with that. So, yes, it was only me doing the voice, but you can hear that the argument is flawed because we took it from them. And for them to get it back, man, isn't that what a treaty should be for? And I agree with Mackie. I think that the real way forward here is a treaty, a cleverly written treaty, where there are parts of Australia that are free to the native inhabitants, right? And it sounds terrible. We can't give them the whole place. I think a treaty where there's respective governance from both sides is a long way off, a real long way off, and we might not see it.
Possibly, I think you might be right there.
Because if there's this much tension now, imagine where that's going to go.
Oh, you see, this is going to sound really callous.
But what are we giving up?
Why
are we so afraid to give it up?
If you go and conquer someone. And what the British did here, they declared Australia terra nullius. What that means is there's no one here worth considering. We can take it. It's ours. There's no one here. Mm-hmm. There's no one here. Terra nullius. If you do that, okay, if you do that, you have to kill everybody that's there. Okay? That has happened in the past where conquerors have just gone in. In fact, the conflict between Rome and Carthage.
That was
right?
The style at the time, Mickey.
Style at the time. Now, these were two powers. And Rome was not always certain to win, mind you, right? It could be a very different world right now if Carthage had won. But they went there and they raised with a Z, Carthage, and they salted the earth. The only historical records we have of Carthage are from the Romans.
And nothing, salting of the earth phrase, Mickey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have nothing from the Carthaginians themselves, really, or hardly anything, right? And that's what happened. And that's what used to happen when people went to war. There's a Chinese conqueror as well that just drove everyone in front of him and killed every last living thing. Wow. Not just people, but in this particular country or whatever it was, this area, every living thing that could be killed, his army killed. Animals, yep. People, insects, whatever. He killed it all. And look.
You could concrete over that place and make it wonderful.
Yeah, and the thing is this. There won't be any future problems, at least not from these people.
Mm.
Because they no longer exist. And this is really, this is really a lesson in history, because if you
did that in Tasmania.
Exactly. If you conquer out there in the world, right, there will always be bad blood. In the Balkans, there was peace while Tito was in charge. Tito, the leader of Yugoslavia. As soon as Tito died, all hell broke loose, because these feuds, these blood feuds, had been simmering away for 50, 60 years. Okay? And they expressed themselves in the Balkans Wars of the 90s. That wasn't a surprise at all. I wasn't surprised. I went to those countries and I visited them on a regular basis on my way to Turkey for holidays. Okay? I'm not at all. So I was, when it came to war, yeah, but that's, I expected that because the pressure valve had been taken off. Right? And the kettle exploded. So not taken off, the pressure valve had been, taped shut, if you will. And the whole thing just exploded. And every place on earth is like that. The Sudan, Yemen, okay? Anywhere in the stands, China itself. Every country has minorities that are rearing to fight. Right? That's where we are. It's just how it is.
Less than a minute.
Oh, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Where does the time go?
Where does it go? Look, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Hopefully, Omega Logos, fulfilled our end of the bargain. And by talking about it, I'm happy to talk about it more. But ultimately, it takes action to change things, right? And look, Australia is a beautiful country, and I'd hate to see it be torn apart by these kinds of fear-mongering activities. And I don't know. It's just not necessary. Anyway, this has been Plato's Cave. Come and see us on Sunday. On a shiny inside out. Telepathy. It's going to be awesome. And don't go anywhere. Don't know who's coming up next. Most of all, though, be safe.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us.
at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's hyphen thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Trained in combat, hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 25th day of July, year of our Lord 2023, and welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we do here at Republic Broadcasting what should be done in every public and private school every school day of the year. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Purpose tip today is to learn to read and use a topographical map, learn to use a lensatic compass, and of course learn to do cross-country navigation. Quite a bit different than using a highway map and being on the highway, I assure you. It's a skill, it's fun. In normal times, it's a fun hobby. In hard times, it could be a matter of life and death. If you live near a college town, you may find an orienteering club. Typically, these are youngsters in their teens and 20s that do the map and compass reading for a hobby. All right, we have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Leon Green. Leon is a former officer in the United States Navy, one of the most advanced preppers I've ever known, and the most knowledgeable person I know also when it comes to incorporating doTERRA essential oils into your life to help you achieve your goals. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning, John. Thanks for the compliments.
Well, you're welcome. You certainly richly deserve them. Well, a week from today, it'll be August, won't it?
Yes, sir. And talking about that, we're going to be having our whatchamacallit coming up, our get-together.
Our John Moore Show meetup, which will be in Rolla, Missouri, the first Thursday of the month, which is a week from this coming Thursday. We get together at 4:30 at the Dietro Panis Italian restaurant in the Benton Square building in Rolla. We have an informal discussion between 6 and 7, and then Leon takes over, or somebody he designates takes over for training at 7, don't you?
Yes, sir. We did, matter of fact, we did the topographical training last month, so it was interesting.
That's right.
And you can learn a lot in person, but when you actually walk it and you learn your pace count and things like that, it makes a big impact on how well you can actually orient.
Well, let's help people. This may be help people get started and what a pace count is. First of all, go to your nearest football field, which might be handy, or measure off 100 yards. And preferably flat terrain, so you have a good baseline to work with. And you walk that 100 yards, counting each step along the way, in a normal pace, not short, not long, but just a normal pace, the way you normally walk. Then repeat a second time and repeat a third time. Then take the average of those three counts, and that would be your average pace count on level, flat ground, wouldn't it, Leon?
Yes, sir.
That's how it's done. And the special forces, when we're running a patrol, we have two pace counters, and we take the average between the two to get as close as we can to an accurate measurement of how far the team has gone on any given segment of their march. And if we got a 12-man team, your first man is your point man. That's all these positions are critical. And then you got your two pace counters behind him. And then after that would probably be the team leader. After that would be the radio man. And the rest of the guys spread out behind your light weapons, heavy weapons, medic, alternately looking left and looking right. And, of course, at the end of that line of men, you're the last guy would be keeping a watch behind to make sure nobody's sneaking up on you from behind. That's how it's done, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact,
we did some Travis and a group of guys went out yesterday and we went for a walk, and actually he did a very quick interview and he talked about John Moore Show and he talked about how, people can actually go watch us, you and I, and, actually hear us on the show. So, he did that. And then this weekend they're actually having the Roby event. So it's a free potluck in Roby, Missouri, and we start about 12, and so we're 4 or 5, and you're really family-minded, and about 300 to 500 people coming on a regular basis, and it's been very good for me for the last almost two years now.
Well, I asked the audience when I spoke at Roby last month, who's traveled the farthest distance, and there was two guys from Texas and one from California. She won the DVD I handed out. It's 2,000 miles to California. So people come from all over to this event, don't they?
Absolutely. Just like you know, there was a snowstorm a year and a half ago in which a lady, unbeknownst to me, just showed up. And remember, you had to cancel it because of that snowstorm. And, you know, I was disappointed she didn't bother to reach out. We could have connected anyway. But she drove in from, well, she flew in from Vegas to come see your event. And then she had, you know, she returned. But, yeah,
that's
people
right.
fly
that's
all
That's right. The event was canceled because of snow. That's right. Yeah, that was quite a commitment on her part in terms of time and money both, wasn't it?
Correct. And, you know, she still got to, you know, go around, and she went to North Arkansas to see some issues down there. But, you know, she was disappointed because she didn't get a chance to actually meet you and meet some of the people there. So, you know, that was where communication comes in handy because, you know, even if there was a snow issue, we could have connected the next day and done things like that. So if you do come, please reach out to John or myself, and we can do the best we can to, you know, we're not worried about
it. Well, we'll do what we can to accommodate, but if you don't reach out, we don't have a clue, do we?
Absolutely, and that's why I was disappointed because, you know, we were talking a lot on the phone, and it was like a surprise. She wanted to surprise me. I was like, well, that's a nice surprise, but the surprise on you because the snow affected everybody, and I'm sorry that she couldn't come.
Well, that's a shame, but no harm done. As life's issues go, that was a pretty minor bump in the road. Well, Leon, the war in Ukraine continues. It's not mainstream news like it used to be. The economy continues to have its issues. We have a presidential election coming up in about a year and a half, not quite a year and a half. A lot of speculation about what the turnout's going to be for that, the outcome, I should say. And I'm hearing about a new triple whammy virus. Have you heard about that?
Not yet. The biggest thing I've been just learning just recently is that, you know, the India is, you know, banning all exports of non-basmati rice. You know, so that's 40% of the world's rice. And, boy, there are people going crazy at the Costco shops, that's for sure.
Well, rice is a basic foodstuff for a large portion of the world's population. And I understand a $17 bag of rice is now $50.
That is crazy.
Is what I read. And people, when people get desperate, they'll do desperate things, and they'll pay the $50, won't they?
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I saw one of the articles. It said, food is a mind-altering drug. Because when you don't, when you're starving to death and you're chillin', you do all sorts of crazy things. Your morals will change drastically when you're starving to death.
That's right. That's right. They will. You got a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, it's summertime. Our temperatures here in South Central Missouri will be right at 100 or so, so close it doesn't matter, the next several days. No rain in the forecast. The time to get things done outdoors is right when the sun's about to come up and go until maybe 10 o'clock or noon and do the smart thing. I used to make fun of the Mexicans, but they're the smart ones, taking that siesta, getting the hell out of that hot sun. And a hell of a hot sun at midday. Take a break until maybe 6 p.m. The hottest part of the day is right at 4 p.m. So 2 hours before and 2 hours after, it's usually pretty brutal. And so take a break till about 6 o'clock and then wrap up your day if you have outdoor activity those last 2 hours of daylight. This heat prostration is nothing to fool with, is it?
No, I mean, even a friend of ours, you know, a year ago, he wasn't paying attention to the heat aspect, and he had heat exhaustion, and, you know, it didn't occur while he was here, but when he got home, it had a huge impact. And so, yes, and I've talked to so many military guys who, personally, who, you know, they were on patrol in which person passed out because of a heat exhaustion or heat stroke. And after one or two times, they just kick them out of the military. So the military doesn't play around with that. I mean, of how important it is. And once you have it, the proclivity of having it occur again is much higher. So it is very important. And I've heard people say, they talk about the wussification of Americans was attached directly to air conditioning. And then, you know, when it's muddy hot, 100, or like Arizona, what is it, 18 days over 110 degrees Fahrenheit?
Or about to break the record? 15 degrees, yep.
Cool. So with these, you know, with, and anyone who lives down there, you know, we have the convenience of electricity, but when if and when a grid-down scenario occurs, the death toll will be immense because of the people exposed to weather conditions that they've never been exposed to naturally.
That's right. Well, staying hydrated is no small thing. A quarter teaspoon of sea salt per quart of water will help keep your electrolytes in balance. And here's a, and if you think drinking soft drinks or beer will keep you hydrated, no, they won't. Your body treats those liquids as food, not as water. It's an entirely different thing. And once you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So you need to be drinking water before you feel thirsty, don't you, Leon?
Absolutely. You hear people say, I'm going to ration water. That is one thing. You can ration a lot of food, you know, 3 weeks, but water, I mean, headaches are some of the first things that occur, you know, the parched mouth. It starts to go downhill from there. So, yes, you don't ration water. You should just make it a point to, you know, have it available and just constantly do it. And in the military, they would mandate, okay, they start drink breaks. Stop and drink. Because the fatalities are just so high.
Yep. Well, moving on from there, just take reasonable precautions, and you'll be okay. Stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little about ultraviolet. The ultraviolet index, when it was first developed, was 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. When the sun's energy increased, they had to increase it, I think, to 15. A lot of people, myself included, we notice that bare skin in the sun now burns within 2 or 3 minutes of going outside. That's new. That's 20 years ago. It wasn't that way, but it is now. The ultraviolet intensity has increased. And once again, I used to make fun of the Mexicans. I apologize to the entire Mexican country. You're all right. I was wrong. Staying covered up with light-colored cotton clothing, loose-fitting, light-colored cotton clothing. Now, I save my old dress shirts. I wear white and light blue dress shirts. When they get wore out, I keep them for working outdoors, because they're all cotton, they have long sleeves, they're loose-fitting, and they protect my arms, my neck from the sun. I see American men and women with T-shirts and shorts out in the sun, and I've had any number of friends that have had skin cancer. Usually it's the side of the face, but it can be the arms too. There's one rancher down the road from me. Every year he has to go get cancer lesions cut off his arms because he refuses to wear long sleeves to protect his arms. This local cattle rancher, great guy by the way, otherwise, but he's had myself and this one nurse I know tell him repeated times, wear a light colored cotton long sleeve cotton shirt, and he just refuses to do so. And he thinks getting the cancer cut off his arm just normal, Leon.
That's crazy. I've had many people call me over the last 10 years, and they tell me about, you know, they say they have cancer, and they're a trucker. And I'm like, do you have cancer or melanoma in your left hand, your left arm? And he said, yes. How do you know? I was like, well, you know, you tell me what your job is, and because we're in America, your left arm's exposed to the glass much more than the right is. And so that's why the disparity is just opposite in England and all the English-based driving system. So, you know, it is prominent. And even Dane Whittington has talked about, you know, at geoengineeringwatch.net, I believe it's .net. And it's a very good description of what's happening. And now even the White House has said, yes, we're geoengineering. So for the last 7 years, all these idiots have said, no, it's conspiracy theory. And now they've admitted, yeah, we have an office and we've been doing it. Even my dumb brother, I told him about it. He didn't want to hear it. And he's a pilot. So it just blows me away that people.
Your dumb brother got the clout shot, you mean?
Yes, exactly. Good memory, right. Yes. Both dumb brothers.
Oh, well. They may have high IQs, but it doesn't make them aware of the things they need to be aware of, does it?
Correct. And matter of fact, Mike Adams had a doctor, I forgot his name, but they talk about protocols, and even Ty Bollinger talked about some protocols that they're working on now that are effective in mitigating the people who have already got taken the clot shot. So I'm not sure about the veracity of it and reliability and efficacy, but I definitely, I sent it to my father and even my brother, but I know he won't respond to it, but my father may. But, he's mad that he's taken it. But, it doesn't matter how mad people are. If they've already, assuming they didn't get saline or if they've got two or three or four, their impact is in many cases irreversible based on normal science. But we want to learn more about what John or Mike's guest has talked about, this doctor has talked about.
Well, another bit on the ultraviolet is to wear a wide brim straw hat. Mm-hmm. American men and women also like to wear these baseball caps, which keep the sun out of your eyes, but they provide no protection at all to your ears and your neck, do they?
Correct. Exactly.
So my one friend, he had this cancerous tumor on the side of his head from wearing a baseball cap, which finally healed up. But now he wears a wide-brimmed straw hat when he's outdoors doing work. We have a break. When we get back from the break, we will find out what in the world is the oil of the week.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Hey! as I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday, the 25th day of July. We're about to find out just what in the world is the oil of the week from Leon Green. Go ahead, Leon.
Yes, sir. The oil of the week is On Guard. It's a protective blend, and there are five oils that are in there, and they are cinnamon, clove, rosemary, eucalyptus, and wild orange. And so those are the same oils that were used in the concoction that the people used during the bubonic plagues in Spain and France, the Black Death. And so those oils are very effective in the ability to kill harmful bacteria, molds, and viruses. It can be diffused in the air or used to clean or purify household surfaces. So the primary uses are like an abscess or oral issues, air pollution, antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, bladder infection, candida, chronic fatigue, cleansing, cold sores, colds, coughs, flu, gum disease, halitosis, hypoglycemia, infection, lupus, mold, mononucleosis, MRSA, plague, pneumonia, scabies, sore throat, staph infection, and warts. The way you apply it is you can either take it sublingually under your tongue, and if the cinnamon and clove is too spicy for you, you can also take it. They have it in capsules and in beadlets. And then there's another one called On Guard Plus, which is a more advanced one. That's for people who are in the hospital, like on an IV. That's how important that one is. And so you can do it sublingually, or you can put it on your skin. Normally most people, if they have to do it on their skin, they do it on their feet, on the soles of their feet. And you can diffuse it or inhale it directly. So there's wild orange, which is highly antifungal and antibacterial and antiviral. Clove bud is any infectious, any parasitic, and any fungal, and cinnamon bark is very good, is a very good and powerful oxygenator. It is highly antiviral, an antiseptic, antispasmodic, eucalyptus, radiata. Also has antiviral properties, for especially for the respiratory system. Rosemary balances heart function and reduces mental fatigue. And so those oils, those five collectively, are called On Guard. And so we have, even in toothpaste, because of how effective it is. So in a grid-down scenario, instead of using fluoride, which is a brain-numbing chemical that's banned in many countries, Israel was the first one to ban it in their water supply. So you can actually use this to brush your teeth, and if water is at a premium, even if you don't wash off, or gray water wash off your bristles on your toothbrush, you still have the benefit because it kills the bugs on your toothbrush, you know, the tines. And so it's very, it is very effective. It's called On Guard, and On Guard Plus is even more effective, and you can only use that for about 7-10 days because it has oregano in it, and oregano kills everything, parasites. And so you can only use it for so long because you have to actually give your body a rest. So that's the oil of the week. On Guard.
All right. That reminds me, the training at the John Moore meetup will be, excuse me, I had to sneeze, will be how to be your own dentist. Marie Lassiter will be leading that training. And nice. I'm looking forward to it. I typically don't stay for the training, but this coming a week from Thursday, I think I may just do it to get that instruction myself. It'll be a good session, won't it, Leon?
Absolutely, and I'll bring it. If I can locate it immediately, I'll bring my dental extraction kit and things like that so people can see it.
It reminds me when I was in Vietnam, there were a sidewalk dentist for the poor people who couldn't afford to go to a real dentist in Vietnam. A sidewalk dentist would have a little stool for the patient to sit on against the brick wall of a commercial building that might be standing there, and a cigar box. In that cigar box, he had maybe 10 or 20 teeth that he had extracted to show that he was capable of extracting teeth, and a tooth extractor. It looked like a pair of pliers with points instead of flat surfaces to extract the tooth. And you would squat down on this little stool, open your mouth, and he would extract that tooth and put it in the cigar box. And it would cost you about 50 cents.
And I wonder if they had any pain relievers. Did they give him boosts?
Well, I didn't really question the guy because I had no need for a sidewalk dentist. I just stopped long enough to observe what I observed, which is why I just communicated. He may have had some little cotton balls to place in the open spot where the tooth came out. That would be good. As far as pain relievers, I simply don't know. But that is what I observed in Vietnam in 1968.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Welcome to the third world. Here's our bottom of the hour break. Call it is 512.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. contact Brad at 3dbunkers.com for more details or visit 3dbunkers.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be speaking at the next Red Pill Expo. That'll be in Des Moines, Iowa, put on by G. Edward Griffin. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you can see all the speakers that will be there in Des Moines the August 12th and 13th. You can get your tickets right there. It'll be a great event. I hope that you can make it. I look forward to seeing a lot of you there. If you're tired of being tired, check out the Energy Cleaner. If arthritis pain is slowing you down, check out the Energy Cleaner. All the details are at my website. You can read up on how the Energy Cleaner was created. You can read the excellent testimonials from people like Steve Whitman, who Leon and I met Steve in Florida a couple of years ago. And keep in mind the following. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. Check out the Energy Cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it, at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. Well, Leon, I was reviewing Steve Quayle's documentary he did on his archaeological dig in Mexico, where they're recovering Egyptian artifacts buried 8 and 10 feet deep in Mexico. I'll be talking to Steve soon. I started interviewing Steve in the late 1990s, around 1997, 98, along in there, on my first radio show in St. Louis. So I know Steve pretty well. And I'm going to tell him about a friend of mine who was in the tunnels that apparently the Egyptians built that go between Hoover Dam and the Grand Canyon, which is about 50 miles, by the way. And these tunnels, these are not the kind of things that you would create by chipping away at them with stone axes, are they?
Absolutely not. I've driven that several times going to Grand Canyon with my children, leaving front sight. And so you're right. It's a great distance. And
Leon, if you want to get arrested, do this.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the south rim of the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Park in a public parking area and launch a drone to go over the north rim of the Grand Canyon, and you will be arrested. Joey, I'm serious.
I believe you.
It's not a government installation. It's not Area 51. It's not an Air Force base. It's the north rim of the Grand Canyon. And if you try to walk there, if you try to hike there, you will be arrested. If you get off the river down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon and start hiking up the north rim of the Grand Canyon, you will be arrested.
I wonder what the rationale is, the lame explanation.
Well, they don't want us barefoot peasants to know the real history of our planet and the world. They really don't. Now, my friend, He was in the U.S. Army. He was an intelligence analyst like I was. He arrived at Hoover Dam with 99 other soldiers. They were issued eight all-terrain vehicles, cameras, measuring tapes, various surveying instruments. His job, him and his buddy, there were two-man teams, was to measure and photograph and document the bore holes that are in the tunnels. About the right size for modern fiber optic cables, by the way. A modern fiber optic cable is about 2.5 inches and 3 inches in diameter, something like that. So that was his job all day long, down in the tunnels that go between and rooms. And I need to interview him a bit more detail about this large rooms. I think this could be accurately described as an underground city. And, Of course, when they were first discovered in the late 19th century, they were just full of Egyptian artifacts, which have all been mostly cleaned out and taken to the Smithsonian, by the way. You're speechless.
You know, I also think about the things that they've taken to the Smithsonian, and, you know, it never comes back out. You know, it doesn't get displayed, and it just goes into hiding.
Right here in Crawford County, there was a human skeleton found early part of the 20th century in a cave, and it was hand turned over to a medical doctor who practiced, I think, in Steelville or Cuba. I think it was Steelville. And he had it on display in his office for years. It was a skeleton. I think it was like 7.5-8 feet tall, something like that. And the Smithsonian took it, never to be seen again.
Yes, sir. You give anything to the government, you might as well just write it off, because you're never getting it back. That's why when you hear people talk about, oh, they took my cell phone for evidence, it's like, you might as well go buy another one, because it'll be a long time before you see that.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, archaeology has two jobs. One is to recover ancient technology. The other is to keep us from finding out about it.
Yes, sir.
And the whole, and Quayle gets into this, and you can still buy this documentary at Quayle's. It was a fundraiser for Doug Hagman, by the way. But the photographs, the documentary, what they have in there is certainly, I knew a lot about these topics, but I learned quite a bit myself from Steve Quayle's documentary about the archaeological digs he's been doing in Mexico. It's an expensive undertaking to go to Mexico, get all the permits and licenses, and pay for the hired help to do the excavation, the hotel rooms, the food, the travel, it all, and the equipment, of course, the ground penetrating radar. It's a fairly expensive undertaking, isn't it, Leon?
Yes, sir. When you're talking about LIDAR and ground penetrating, it does go through the roof. And so many people, they just dismiss it. And I mean, if you just look at the Bible, they describe it, you know, the heights of the different giants. And yeah, even though Ludlow was one of the tallest, you know, and the number of fingers that they have, most of them had six fingers, and some had, and many of them had two rows of teeth. And these skeletons, these archaeological remains that they've dug up out of the ground, you know, fit this criteria. So when I hear people say, "Oh, that's just a bunch of hogwash," it's like, wow, you know, either you don't believe in the Bible, or you don't believe that what your limited knowledge of the earth is a veil of ignorance.
Right, right. Well, Robert Wadlow was a freak of nature. He had a disease that caused his extraordinary growth. He didn't even live to be 30 years old. At the local shoe store in Cuba, they've got one of his shoes on display. But that was a freak of nature. But giants were alive until fairly recently. Giants that would not, they weren't freaks of nature. They were basically a different race to a certain extent, weren't they?
Absolutely. And Steve and Mike Adams and many others, we can go to, what is it, Timothy Alberino. There's a whole list of people who have, they've gone to Ecuador and Egypt and other places, and they've done exploration with these, you know, million-dollar teams and found. And they even have it here in America. So you don't have to go around the world. This stuff in America has been suppressed. But, you know, they even had these things in display out in San Catalina Island off the coast of L.A. for a while. And then when Steve brought it to their attention, boy, did it get suppressed very quickly. And all the exhibits were reduced. They would cut pictures. They would, you know, they did all sorts of things to minimize or eliminate the ability for people to learn about the past. And so, you know, if you don't learn about the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Well, those who are, you know, those who are ignorant of the past are doomed to repeat it, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Well, we do our best here to educate our listeners, won't we?
Yeah, we've been, you've been doing it for decades, and I just make it a point whenever I meet people, and Oh, and I don't know if you, I sent you this information, but the Homesteading Expo is going to be in Marshville, like they did for the last several years. And this is not a prepper. I mean, it's not a conspiracy meeting. This is about, I'm looking at some of the things they're talking about. Soap making, lard, raising sheep and goats.
What's the date on that, management. Leon?
Oh, August 25th and 26th. Mm-hmm. It's only Friday, Saturday, and they have a big celebrity this year coming. It's Joel Salatin. So he's probably the largest and most well-known permaculture celebrity in the world, and he's going to be attending. So it'll probably be sold out. And if you, it's $40 for 2 days, and if you show up there and just want to pay, it's normally about $15 more, if they even have the ability now, because it will probably be sold out definitely the day he's speaking. I believe it's going to be both days. So, it'd be a hassle to drive over there and find out, oh, I'm out of luck.
Yeah, I can't imagine Marshfield, Missouri having a convention center. I don't know what they're using for a venue, but it can't be all that.
No, it's not very large. Yeah, they do have it's pretty much like a huge park. And last year they actually processed chickens, and I think they processed like nine cows and several pigs and probably 100 chickens. Yeah, so, that was one of the very last things. And so people got to do it firsthand. They got to walk around with their own chicken. They showed this little girl, 6 years old, and she did the whole process. So, and they also did solar, and I went to Missouri Wind and Solar, and they had a two-day course, and they taught you how you do your own system, because, in a grid down scenario, you won't be able to call your local friendly solar man or woman to come fix yours. So you learn how to do it, or you'll be in the dark, and you spend all the money.
So,
and you will be.
Is there a website for this event?
Yes, sir. It's homesteading.com. Yeah, Ozarks, homesteading.com.
Ozarks, plural.
Yes. And I sent it to you. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we're getting people interested just by talking about it. We'll probably OzarksHomesteading.com. Got it. So if you want to participate in that, August 25th, 26th, it sounds like the tickets will be sold out pretty quickly, don't it?
Absolutely. You can get them online. They're $40, and they're cheaper for children. So I went last year, and so was Travis and his family and others. And so, the vast majority of the people from the Roby event will go because of the importance. I mean, looking at it, the amount of things that they address, cover the whole gamut. They even had blacksmiths there. And so, the blacksmith and the other title, what's the other? There are two jobs or two vocations that have been around for 500,000 years because of the importance. Blacksmithing was one, and the other one is eluding me now, but, they address them. I guess if I look at that list again, I can see the file, but they go into, dairy goats and sun ovens and across the board, beekeeping. So it's, and these experts, they do this as a living, but they also have it in most cases personally. So, a beekeeper may have, 2 million bees under their watch, but they most cases have it on their own property, and so they get the benefit of the pollination, but they also get the free honey. So there's so many things to learn there, and I would definitely recommend it. And so foraging mushrooms, and I'm looking at these things, and many times because there's so many things to do, if you go with multiple people, you can set up teams to say, okay, what do you really want to focus on? And one I see is fermenting. And so, you just say, this is my biggest concern. And then you pursue that. You take notes, you take video, take pictures, and then we can swap ideas and swap notes, because you can't be in both places at the same time. So there's some that I really wanted to watch, and I'm not going to be able to do both. So that's where having a team or communicating can help, because you can still catch up and get the flyers, get the information, and meet some of the people, because the only challenge there is sometimes the because they have a lot of outside tents and canopies and things like that, so they separate them enough that people can't hear. But the internal buildings, they aren't acoustically perfect like some places we've been, like the Springfield, Missouri Expo that where you and I first met. there were much better acoustic places, but you've spoken, I know that, you've spoken places in which it's been horrendous. You're like, wow, you know, whether it's the noise from the kitchen and the dining area or just speaking on stage. So, you know, we know about those problems.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's event planning is an art. It really is. And I have a lot of respect for the event planners who can get a great venue where the speakers can be heard and seen properly. It means a lot because people, they travel, they spend money, time and money for rooms and lodging and so forth. And they should get to be able to hear and see their speaker in the best manner possible, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, Joel Salatin, his thing is, it's going to be Friday. A salad bar beef, Joel Salatin at the Polyface Farm. That's the company he has. And then he does it Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, chicken processing. I'm surprised he's doing that because, you know, we just processed 60 chickens with our group last week, and it took about an hour and a half with 20 people. And you met him. He came to one of the events. It had a well pump issue in which his old fuses crashed and affected the two chicken pluckers. So we were down for a little bit, but the actual processing was done very quickly and efficiently after we did it last year, and they only did 25 chickens. And it was very, very efficient. And this time we had more children involved, and it was surprising how much more efficient we were this year compared to last year. So, you know, these things, you know, if you like chicken, many people are like, I don't want to go do that. And it's like, do you like chicken nuggets? Do you like chicken? And like, yes. You can either learn now how to process it, or you can learn when things go south, and your dining pleasure will not be the same when you have to do it first time. You need a lot more feathers in your food.
Well, feathers in the food is not particularly appetizing, is it?
No. And so, when you break the gall, the gallbladder, and then you taint the food, that's bad as well. So there's a lot of things to learn. And it's pretty simple, but it's good to go and do it. You know, when you have the casual, this is like what we always talk about in the past years. Like, we have the impression that everything is normal, but we're just a couple steps from complete chaos.
We have our last break this hour. We'll break back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Leon, this hour has just flown by. This information about the get-together in Marshfield, Missouri, August 25th and 26th, is going to help a lot of people, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it addresses the whole gamut. I mean, everything from electricity to sun ovens to soap making, cheese making, it goes down the list. And I learned a lot last year, and I will attend the ones that I missed last year personally. And, you know, of course, your notes are always going to be better than anyone else's notes. In most cases, at least your understanding and your reception is much easier. And so, I'm definitely going again. And I would definitely recommend anybody locally or within, you know, 300-400 miles will learn a lot. And they even have campsites out there where people can camp. And there's RV hookups nearby. And so Marshall's not a big city, but Springfield is, and you can always stay in the hotels, which many people do, and they just drive there 30 minutes or 20 minutes from the hotel directly there. So I'd highly recommend it. A lot to learn and a lot of people to meet there, too. And especially if you're already in a group, you can go with your group and then focus on whatever expertise, you know, you think is lacking, and also getting contacts and supplies and things of that nature. So there's so many benefits by going to things like that. You know, nationwide, whether it's Doug and Stacy up in Hannibal, which is a little bit far from me, especially because of my animals. So wherever you can go to learn, I mean, you can learn a lot on YouTube, but when you can actually meet the people and taste the cheese that they've made and actually process chicken, your skill level goes up drastically. Plus your confidence goes through the roof as well because you've done it.
Absolutely. Well, there's no substitute for actually doing it, is there?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people are going to wait. Just like, you know, they have a lot of electronics and things like that, night vision. It's like, have you broken it out and actually use it? Have you driven on your own property with it? I've ridden on a motorcycle with it. And so it definitely takes some practice, you know, before you do things like that. And you don't want to have a collapse to cause you to break out the manuals and try to read it then. You should definitely practice and use all these things now, just like everything else you have, whether it's night vision, whether it's solar, setting up your charge controllers, things of that nature. There's so many things to work on now while everything is great. And when the, like you said, the siesta, the time to come in, that's when you can work on those things that you normally put off and put off and put off. You can do those in the afternoon in the house. And so I've got a whole list of things, but now my entire garden set up now, both inside and outside, and I'm going to set up the greenhouse next month, and then I'll be able to do it year-round internally, both inside with the LED lights, but also outside with the diesel heaters that, you know, 8,000-watt heaters on both ends and ventilation, so I can grow 24/7. And it's just a matter of being prepared and just working on it. Get busy.
Outstanding. Leon, thank you very much. We look forward to having you back next Tuesday. We appreciate it.
No, take care. God bless.
Top of the hour break. We'll be back with the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. Stay tuned.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always